continuing in our series in 1 Peter that we're working our way through. It's a great privilege to be able to preach God's word, and it's a book which is very precious to my heart, a book of such hope in very much a hopeless world in many ways, but it's wonderful to be able to work through this book and trust it's a blessing to you as well. And it seems very appropriate that the point we've got to includes the words "honour the king" on this day when we remember the Queen being on the throne for 70 years. How remarkable. And it's been a day of jubilation as we remember the Jubilee, but actually we remember its difficult days in which we live. And how are we going to keep going in these difficult days that we find ourselves? And this book is very much about how to live as a Christian when the days are difficult. I think there's four main themes in the book, some of them which we've touched on already. The first one is rejoicing in our salvation. And there in chapter 1, verse 3, it talks about the new birth and living hope that we have. And it tells us in verse 18, we've been redeemed from an empty way of life. Life is empty. So many people try and fill it with so many other things, but we've been redeemed from that empty way of life. And we can forget that and lose sight of it in the busyness and pressures of life. And it can become very easy to spend time moaning and complaining about our lot rather than praising God and rejoicing in the salvation that we have. So firstly, rejoice in your salvation. Secondly, live a good life. It's a phrase or an idea which comes six times through the book. Just this idea of living a good life. But it's all in the context of living in the pressure pot of life. We're to be those that live a good life. The first mention in chapter 2, verse 12. I think we thought about it last time. The verse just before the passage that we have today, live such good lives amongst the pagans, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits. And the last mention of it in chapter 4 and verse 19. Commit yourselves to God and continue to do good. The third theme, which I think runs through the book, is suffer well. Suffer well. Not for doing that which is wrong, which is fair, but for doing that which is right, which seems so unfair. And we need to remember why, because chapter 1 and verse 6 says it's not for long. The best is yet to come. And we remember how, following the example of Christ. And then, fourthly, the fourth theme that runs all the way through the book, it's mentioned once in each chapter, is to love each other. Love one another deeply. And then we come to this section that we've John read for us tonight. And just want to consider one word tonight. And it's the first word there in the passage. And it's the word submit. Submit. It's a word that I'm not sure we really like. Oh, maybe we think, oh yes, other people, they need to submit. But when it comes to us, we can become uncomfortable with it. Why should I? Why should I do that? It starts when we're young. It continues into teenage years, carries on as a student into the 20s and 30s. And my experience, and in my 60s now, it carries on through life. And I don't think it gets any easier as we get older. Maybe we're just more subtle at hiding our dislike of it and just know how to cover it up, as it were. The passage speaks about three areas in which we should submit, and we'll think briefly about those, and then I've got six lessons for each of us on submission tonight. So the three areas, they come out very clearly in the reading. Firstly, as a citizen. Secondly, as a servant. And thirdly, as a spouse, a partner in a marriage. The first one's mentioned in verse 13a. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted amongst men. Submit as a citizen in society. The second one is as a worker in the place of employment. Verse 18. Slaves, submit yourself to your masters with all respect. And slaves there speak of a servant and employment. So secondly, as a worker in a place of employment. And then thirdly, as a partner in the marriage relationship. And you have that in chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 1, wives, in the same manner, same way, be submissive to your husbands. But then in chapter 3 and verse 7, husbands, do likewise, be the same, submit. So three areas which we are to submit in. And then we'll go on and think about six lessons on submission. Peter's message is very clear. Just one word, submit. Think about where he could have gone instead. In chapter 2 and verse 9, he speaks about us being a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And could have gone on and said, so you've got no part in that system of this world in which we live. Chapter 2 and verse 11 says that we're strangers and pilgrims. And could have gone on and said, you're strangers and pilgrims, you've got diplomatic immunity because you don't belong to this world. He speaks of those in authority, appointed to punish the wrong and commend the right. And he could have said, yes, assess what they're saying, and if it's fair, submit to it. And then he goes on in verse 16 of chapter 2, and he says, live as free men. And could have gone on and said, so don't be shackled by society in which you live. But he doesn't say those things. He tells us to submit. So firstly, as a citizen in society. And there it is. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Submit. There's no discrimination. Submit to some and not to others, whether it's to the king or to his governors. Remember that the context that this is written is Rome, the rule of Rome, an occupied territory, an unfair and unjust society facing persecution, yet still he says, submit. And Peter isn't naive about the nature of human authority and would have experienced that himself. Paul says exactly the same. It's the same message. Romans 13 and verse 1. Paul says this, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Paul has the same to say, simply submit as a citizen in society. And yes, we have to work out what that looks like. Secondly, he goes on and talks about as an employer or worker in the workplace, verses 18 through to 20. Let's just read those again. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Submit as slaves, as a household worker. And I would imagine that many of these people he was speaking to were, yes, they were tied, as it were, to their master, whether as a teacher, or as a clerk, or an accountant in some way, whatever it is. But the message is simple. Submit. There's no discrimination. Submit to the good and submit to the bad. Submit to the considerate. Submit to the harsh. And that's not easy. I think of many bosses who I've had over the years. And I know what my tendency is like. My tendency is to respond to the good and react to the bad. Whether that's just me or whether that's maybe you can identify that as well. But yet, Peter here simply says, submit as an employer or worker in the workplace. And then thirdly, chapter 3, those first 7 verses, he tells them to submit as a spouse or partner in the marriage relationship. And I think it's very interesting that this passage, yes, it's about wives, but it is also about husbands. There's the context he speaks of is very much how to live with a non-Christian, someone who isn't a Christian in the marriage partnership, but actually it's also about how to live with a Christian marriage partner. And he says the Christian wife is to submit to the non-Christian husband. He spells out what this means and how that should be, demonstrating godliness. In chapter 3 and verse 2, look at what he says. It speaks of purity and reverence, that the non-Christian husband might see the purity and reverence of life. And then verse 3, that he might see the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Well, the Christian husband is to submit to the non-Christian wife in the same way. I think it's very interesting, verse 17, in the same way, do likewise. Be considerate, be submissive. Verse 7, treat them with this respect. Treat them as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Yes, there's a context here of a Christian and a non-Christian spouse, but the principles are the same for all of us, that we are to submit. And I find it very challenging what it says at the end of verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. That's challenging to think that if we don't, as husbands, if we're not like that, that our prayers can be hindered. You've got the same idea coming out in chapter 5 where it says God resists the proud but gives the grace to the humble. What a thought that we could get out in the morning, and if we're proud that God resists us, we need to be careful. We need to be those who submit. So 3 areas that he speaks about: citizens in society, employers in the workplace, and a spouse or partner in the marriage relationship. But let's move on and think about 6 lessons for each one of us on submission tonight. And they come from here, but we're going to refer to elsewhere as well. And the first lesson is this. Notice that we do it for the Lord. We do it for the Lord. Verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority institution amongst man. We do it for the Lord. We do it to please him, not just to please others. And we should choose to do it because we choose to, in obedience to the Lord, not because we have to. And not just because we think, oh well, yes, I think that's a good idea, so I will do it. Such as a speed limit outside a school. We might think, yes, the speed limit out the school, it's a good idea. I'm going to drive very carefully because there are children here and I'm going to submit to that. Not just because we think it's a good idea. We are told to submit for the Lord's sake. And not just because we think we might get caught. We don't just submit because we might get caught by speeding again. The speed camera. I need to drive carefully. I might get caught. We do it for the Lord's sake. And something similar comes out in verse 19 as well. It says, it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. So our submission we do because we are conscious of God with reference to him. We do it for the Lord. Secondly, submission doesn't always mean obedience. If you look up the word submission in the dictionary, you might think it does always mean obedience. But in the biblical sense of the word, submission doesn't always mean obedience. What if we are asked to do something wrong? What if the boss tells us to lie for him? What if we're told to stop preaching the gospel? Submission doesn't always mean obedience. There are times when we submit to a higher authority. In Acts chapter 4, Peter, the one who's writing this book, and John, they're told to stop preaching. And what do? They appeal and they say, we must obey God. Daniel chapter 3, when with his friends, they're told to serve the gods where they are in captivity and to worship the image of gold which has been put up. And he said, and Daniel, they say, we will not serve your gods or worship images of gold that you have set up. There are times when we might not submit because we are submitting to a higher authority. And in those times, we have to be willing to face the consequences for that. And the reason that we might do that must be because it's wrong to submit, not because it's unfair to submit or because we don't want to submit. It's only if it would be wrong and against God's word to do it. And when we do have times when we might have to do that, we have to do it in the right way and with right attitudes. And I think we need to work out how we do it in a way which does show submission. We have to be wary of showing outright rebellion or militant stubbornness or trying to make a statement and draw attention to ourselves. Yes, there may well be times when we have to disobey and not submit to exactly what we are being told to do. And we may face that in our lifetimes in this country. We don't know. But as we do have to do that, let's do it in a way which is submissive, if I can say that, and brings glory to the Lord. So secondly, submission doesn't always mean obedience. And then thirdly, why do we submit to authorities? We submit to authorities because they are appointed by God. And that's an important principle. Notice what it says in verse 14. It speaks about the king and the governors. It says they are sent by him. Romans 13:1, that verse which I read, says there's no authority except that which God has established. And we submit because authorities are appointed by God. And we trust God. And we trust that he knows what he is doing. And in our world today, there are many Christians tonight who are locked up because they are Christians and we can't understand it. There are lands where the Bible is a banned book. And we have to just trust God, because God is the one who appoints leaders. He is the one who raises them up. And he is the one who brings them down as well. So we submit because authorities are appointed by God. But our submission isn't just to authorities that God has put over us. Here it's talking about authority. Here in Romans 13:1, the authorities appointed over us. In Hebrews 13, verse 17, it speaks in a similar way about authorities appointed over us, about submission to authority. But in James chapter 5, we're told to submit to God. In Ephesians chapter 5, we're told to submit to Christ. And here in chapter 3, the submission to wives and to husbands. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence to God. So yes, we submit to authorities because they are appointed to God, but we submit not just to authorities over us. A submissive heart and attitude. We do it for the Lord. Submission doesn't always mean obedience. We submit because authorities are appointed by God. And then fourthly, submission is an expression of godly character. Submission is an expression of godly character. Look at what it says in verse 16 of chapter 2. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honour the King. We are those who have been made free by grace, by God's grace, by Christ. We sung of that wonderful love that gives us, or wonderful grace that gives us what we don't deserve. We are free. We're free from the power of sin. We're free from the penalty of sin. And we need to live as those who are free. But what is freedom? What is freedom? It's not the right to do what we want, but it's the power to do what we ought. Live as free men. Not the right to do what we want, but the power to do what we ought, which means being submissive, because God has commanded us to submit. Verse 17. The godly character has shown proper respect to everyone. It's very easy to think and to say, well, they don't deserve it, so I'm not going to show it. Is that right? That's not what it says here. We're told to show proper respect for everyone. Verse 18, again, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect. Treat them with respect to the good and, yes, to the bad as well. Submission is an expression of a godly character. We've already mentioned those verses in chapter 3 where it speaks of wives, their purity and reverence, and a gentle and quiet spirit. And for husbands, treating wives with respect as heirs of the gracious gift, with that warning that if we don't, then our prayers will be ineffective. Our prayers will be affected. Submission, an expression of a godly character. And all of this emphasis is on a patient submission and a loyal and disciplined devotion to God. Submission, an expression of godly character. And then fifthly, God achieves his purposes through our submission. Again, come back to verse 12. Live such good lives amongst the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits you. Something will happen. God will use it to achieve his purposes. Verse 15. It is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Isn't that remarkable that our submission, our demonstration of a godly life, silences the talk of ignorant men? Those who want to oppose the truth and silence the voice of Christians are affected or silenced by the godly example of submitting Christians. The godly lives of low abiding citizens silence them. Do you see how these godly lives influence society? It's a testimony to the world around us. It's something which God has used down through the years to bring salvation to many. God achieving his purposes through our submission, whether it be in the home, or the workplace, or in society. Let's remember that God achieves his purposes through our submission. And then finally, if it all just seems too difficult, if you find yourself thinking, as I do at times, I just know what I'm like, and I know that human nature that is within me. If it all just seems too difficult and we think we can't do it, remember that we can't do it, but he can. Look at what it says in verse 21. Speaking of Christ, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Christ is our example. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. He was without sin. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Without retaliation, without threats, consider his example and be like Christ. But not only is he our example in it, but he is our strength to do it as well. And he is the one who gives us the ability to do it. It then goes on, verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Our sin has been dealt with. We're changed by Christ. And we have that power within us to live for righteousness. To live like Christ. To live submissive lives. Christ is our example and he is our strength. And gives us the power to change us and helps us to do it. That's the power that's at work in us. That's the power that has come because of the ascension when Jesus returned to heaven and the Holy Spirit came. That is the power that is at work in us. The same power that Ephesians 1, verse 19 and 20, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in us. Work in us, changing us and making us more like Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That we don't have to do it in our strength. That as we submit in these different areas, and ultimately as we submit to God, because actually all these expressions of submission, all these different submissions spoken about are an expression of our submission ultimately to God. And as we do that, he changes us. He dwells in us. He gives us the power to live a life which is different. Christ, our example and our strength. I don't know what you think of the Queen. There's been a lot of talk about her and great jubilation and a time of rejoicing and some good things going on. But whatever you think of the Queen, one of the things that just seems to me is that she does submit to a higher authority. There is a sense of humility, an acknowledgement of higher authorities, it seems. And if anyone should be submitted to, we'd think it's the Queen because of her position as the Queen. Honour the King, as it says. But she seems to understand what it is to be accountable to a higher authority. Let's remember that highest authority. Christ ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God, representing us in the presence of God. So as we face another week and another day and the challenge of daily life and the trials of not wanting to submit to people and situations and so on, may God help us to trust him and just to keep this one word of submit in our hearts and in our minds. And may we submit to God and bring honour to him as we do that. Amen.